Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all 9 of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows through growth in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, to be overcome by
God, eternal life. In Romans 14:9, for this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Many people brood over the unknown. In their uncertainty, they fall prey to anxiety and tension. For the Christian believer, there is a glorious truth that emanates from the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know that he is with us right now, leading us through life. He also went to prepare a place for us in God's heavenly kingdom. In this way, he assures us that when our earthly life is over, we will be with the Lord forever. Instead of being consumed with fear and worry, hold on to the promise, the promises of Jesus, and rejoice in the fact that because Jesus lives, you too will live forever. Hey, praise God. Let us pray. Risen Savior, through faith I know that you live and that I too will live eternally with you. In your name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And at this time, I will play another selection.
That he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he'd drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight or just ashamed? life. Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like, he looks like you. What will Jesus do? Listen. You're the only Jesus some will ever see. And you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. What will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. You want to know what he looks like. He looks like you.
In 1 Kings 8 and 23 and verses 28 through 30 says, a covenant of love. O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants, who continue wholeheartedly in your way. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day. May your eyes be open toward this temple night and day, this place of which you said, my name shall be there, so that you will hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. Hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. Amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. And at this time, I'd like to... The Lord is here. Read Psalm 73:28 in the New Living Translation says, "But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my shelter. I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do." Praise God. Ecclesiastes 3:1 and the NIV says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Right now, we're going to take a little walk in grace. What are you doing? Excuse me. What are you going to do with these? My husband Chuck pointed to the overflowing basket of papers. I need to sort and file them. When do you think you'll do that? In other words, why am I procrastinating? I signed to pick it up. I sighed and picked up the basket. I would put this chore off long enough. I had put this chore off long enough. I sorted through the pile into stacks. Expired coupons went in the trash. Old notice about our grandson Logan's school events were also discarded. But his assorted homework papers and tests, what to do with them? When Logan had started kindergarten, I would keep almost everything he did. I couldn't possibly throw away his early attempts to draw or write. But as he got older, there were too many papers to keep, and my attachment to them diminished. Then there were the pictures, the latest class pictures and teen pictures, too many to put on the refrigerator or to frame, but they had to be saved. As I filed them with his previous pictures, I could see how Logan had changed over time. His cute little cherub face had transformed into a little boy's face, each year marking a new level of maturity. Where had the time gone? For 7 years, Logan had lived with us. How had he changed right under my nose? Soon, he'll finish elementary school and then move on to middle school. He'll also move out of our house and into a home with his father, who was ready to be a full-time parent. Over the years, Chuck and I had prayed for this time to come. Now the time had arrived. The years had evaporated into memories. Once again, God had answered our prayers. Lord, help me accept this change, knowing your timing is perfect. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is walking in grace. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for his love is boundless, infinite, and eternal. Today, let me pause and reflect upon Christ's love for me. And let me share that love with all those who cross my path today. And as an expression of my love for him, let me share Christ's saving message with a world that desperately needs his grace. In his name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
All to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. In all that we do, no matter where we are. In the fullness of his blessing, nothing is possible without God. We come to know his mercy, humbling ourselves to his mountain.
Amen. Praise God. And right now, I'm going to read a devotional for hardworking women. And it's called Restoration. And Jeremiah 17 and 14 in the NIV says, "Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I praise." Amen, amen. Do you like watching those dip, dive, fixer-up shows? Design and contractors teams can see what's possible even when bright orange paint and dirty carpet are everywhere. They look at a space and know what walls should be knocked down. They can see beyond the mess. Think about this. God sees you and your situation the same way. Amen? When we see the messy inside or the walls we have built up in our heart and mind, God sees a beautiful house just waiting to be restored. Are you in a season of needing a renovation? He can knock down the walls, sweep up the dirt, add a little paint, and have your soul feeling new, fresh, and ready to shine. Amen? Praise God. We all have stuff buried deep inside our souls that we would rather not deal with. And sometimes our restoration process can get pretty messy and dusty. But isn't it worth working through it with God to get on the other side of things with a clean slate? When we clean up the mess in our lives and work through our problems with God, He'll start living a clearer, we will start living in a cleaner, freer, more peaceful space. It's when things are dirty and we don't want to face them, or we are terrified to acknowledge them, that we keep on feeling it's okay to live this way. He sees your mess, and He's not afraid of it. He also sees your potential. He loves you. Now it's time to do the walkthrough and see how to make your house shine. Amen. You got this. Have you ever seen yourself as a house needing to be fixed up? And which areas of your life or rooms do you need to do the most cleaning or reorganizing? Which needs to have just a touch of paint? Maybe the whole house needs to be gutted and remade into something beautiful. Take a look at where you can use some updates in your soul and mind. It may get dusty and dirty, but it'll be a cleaner house to live in. Amen. You got this. Praise be to God. Heavenly Father, today we humbly come before you in prayer. May you fill our hearts with gratitude for the gift of life and the blessings that surround us. Grant us strength and wisdom to face the challenges ahead. Guide our thoughts, words, and actions that they may reflect your love and bring hope to others. May your grace and peace be with us throughout this day. In your holy name, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I will play another selection.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Gives strength where I've been weakened. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say. If you know it's awesome, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
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 My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and say it.
Awesome.
My God.
My God is awesome.
Think about it. Savior of the whole world. Giver of salvation. By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice and say it. Come on, somebody
in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength when I've been weak.
Praise His holy name.
Somebody ought to celebrate the awesome God.
It is time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, The Equipping of the Word, amen, The Equipping of the Word. And the scripture reading for this word message is coming from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17 and the New Living Translation. And it says, God uses it to equip His people to do every good work. Amen. Praise God. During the last few days, we have seen that the word is indeed central to knowing and doing God's will. You cannot truly live the triumphant Christian life apart from it. The Lord works through it to equip you, thoroughly furnishing you with everything you need to complete every good work. At times, the most difficult thing for any of us to do is finish well. We come to points in our lives when we feel we cannot go on or achieve what we have been given to accomplish. The burdens become too heavy, the decision too complex, the challenges too disheartening, and the world and the road too bewildering. We wonder if we have what it takes to keep going or if we should just give up. But what the word does in such times is help us complete the journey. It trains us to keep fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, Hebrews 12 and 2. Through scripture, God gives us the spiritual food that fuels us, providing the wisdom and energy we need to keep going each day and comfort the obstacles that awaits us on the path. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Amen. So let us pray. Jesus, thank you for working through your word to equip us for every good work, including the length of the journey. We will endure knowing you are always with us. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory, the equipping of the word. Thank you, Jesus. Again, at this time, I will play another selection.
Bread of life sent down from glory, been said, but you are the living word said now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Send down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth. Of all the things of God in death. You are the living
word. Awesome ruler. Gentile Redeemer, God with us,
God with us, the living truth, and what a friend we have in you.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you, yeah.
You
were born in a manger,
but on a tree you died to save man.
Jesus, that's what we call.
Heavenly Father, you woke us up again this morning to see another beautiful sunrise. Thank you for seeing us safely to another weekend. Our family is healthy. Our bills are paid. We have food and shelter, and we are thankful and blessed. We praise you in advance for opening doors for all who need jobs, for the healing, the sick, and for keeping us and our families covered under the shadows of your wings. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. And at this time, I will a daily encouragement for your soul. Praise God. In Isaiah 43:18 through 19, in the NIV Bible says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Praise be to God. My roles and responsibility in life have expanded, and I have allowed other people's perception of my work and style, as well as my own self-doubt, to lead me to question who I am and what I'm capable of doing. One day when I was particularly discouraged, my mind went back to a VeggieTales episode my son DJ used to watch. A Snoodle's Tale featured a teardrop-shaped Smurf blue character named Snoodle Doo with white wings, a tuft of white hair, and white gloves. This little guy carried a backpack that contained a kazoo and pellet. Clues to help him discover his skills and talents. However, his low-level flying and elementary drawings were ridiculous. By mean spirit snoodles. They drew pictures of Snoodle Doo's shortcomings and stuffed them in his backpack to remind him of his limitations. But when he stumbled upon his maker, Snoodle Doo was given a new drawing. It was a picture of him, fully developed and completely content. That is how his maker saw him. And soon Snoodle Doodle saw himself that way too. DJ and I watched A Snoodle's Tale 13 years ago, yet the moral of the story stayed with us. I need to tune out the mean spirit voices, including my own, that tried to keep me down. Because of Jesus, my past does not define my future. Just like Snoodle Doo, I must listen to my maker and see myself the way he sees me too. Praise God. Do you let the words or opinions of others discourage you? close your eyes and ask Jesus to give you a vision of how he sees you. Amen? Praise God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, I will play another selection, and after the selection, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen? Praise God.
Yeah. and permeate all my soul. Love of God overflow in my heart and permeate all my soul. All my soul is yours. All my soul. All my soul. All my soul. All my soul is yours.
Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through 21. Amen? Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. And it says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, living in the light. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the examples of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes. These are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater. Idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it is sad. It is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light, living by the Spirit's power. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. Amen. Okay, where is that? I was reading. Okay. That's not good. Okay. So Paul does not forbid all contact with unbelievers. Jesus taught his followers to befriend sinners and lead them to him in Luke 5:30-32. Instead, Paul writes against the lifestyle of people who make excuses for bad behavior and recommend its practice to others. Whether they are in the church or outside of it, such people quickly pollute the church and endanger its unity and purpose. We must befriend our unbelievers if we are to lead them to Christ. But we must be wary of those who are viciously evil, immoral, or opposed to all that Christianity stands for. Such people are more likely to influence us for evil, and we are to influence them for good. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Father God, I pray that it be all of you and none of me. As I bring forth your message this day, I thank you for your only begotten Son who died on the cross so that we can receive eternal life. I pray for my pastor and all auxiliaries of this church. I pray for the increase of our congregation. I pray for our families, our friends, and our enemies. I pray you open up the understanding of the minds of those who hear my voice, that they may receive your revelation knowledge, that they may grow more and more in every way like Christ, so that they may receive their purpose in your holy will. And Father God, I pray for those who are sick and shut in may be healed. I pray for those that are facing trials and tribulations receive deliverance. And Father God, I pray for those that are lost in darkness receive the light of your salvation. We thank you for supplying our every need. And all these blessings we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord God. A famous oil field is known as the Yates Pool. During the Depression, this field was a sheep ranch owned by a Mr. Yates. Yates was unable to make enough money from the ranch to pay the principals and interest on the mortgage and was therefore in danger of losing his ranch. With little money for clothes or food, his family had to live on government subsidies. Day after day, Yates was troubled about how he would be able to pay his bills. A seismographic crew from an oil company came into the area and told Mr. Yates that there might be oil on his land. They asked him for permission to drill a wildcat well, and he signed a lease. At 1,115 feet, a huge oil reserve was discovered. The first well came in at 80,000 barrels a day, and many other wells produce more than twice as much. 30 years after the discovery, a government test of one of the wells showed that it could still produce 125,000 barrels of oil a day, and Mr. Yates owned it all. Since the day he purchased the land, he had held the oil and mineral rights, yet he had lived on relief, a multimillionaire living in poverty. What was the problem? He did not know the oil was there. He owned it, but he did not possess it. The moment we become children of God through faith in Christ, we become heirs of God. And all of his resources are made available to us. Everything we need to live a joyous life of Christian victory is ours in the person of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. But many Christians do not understand how to draw upon the resources of the Holy Spirit. As a result, they live in spiritual poverty, not knowing or experiencing the great riches and resources that are already theirs through the Holy Spirit, like Mr. Yates before the oil discovery. Many Christians own but do not possess the riches that are already theirs. So that we might draw upon the vast reservoir of the Holy Spirit, let us answer some questions people ask about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise be to God. My text for this message is coming from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, where it says, "And be not drunk on wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Praise be to God. And my title for this message is, How Can I Be Filled with the Holy Spirit? Praise be to God. Tonight my message is divided into four paragraphs. Amen. The first paragraph is, What is being filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, it is a birthright to be claimed. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. In Romans 8, 16 through 17, in the NIV, part of your inheritance is the fullness of the Holy Spirit, because you are a born-again Christian. It is your birthright to be filled with the Holy Spirit, just as Peter was filled, as Stephen was filled, and as 120 men and women were filled in the upper room. What have you done with your birthright? Have you claimed it? Praise be to God. It is a command to be obeyed. In Ephesians 5 and 18 tell us, be filled with the Spirit. Some people may think it's optional whether I claim my birthright or not. No doubt, it's a good thing for some people to be filled with the Spirit. But I don't need to be. Let us learn, however, that be filled with the Spirit is a command to be obeyed. You will notice in Ephesians 5 and 18 a double command, a negative, be not drunk, and a positive, be filled. The positive command is as authentic as the negative, and it was binding on just as many of those Ephesian Christians as was the negative command. And what was true for those believers is equally true for all believers today. Hallelujah, Jesus. It is a commitment to be made. In Romans 12 and 1, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. To be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with Christ. If we are filled with the Spirit, we are in Christ. We are walking in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us and keep on cleansing us from all sin. To be filled with Christ means to be controlled by Christ, not as a robot, but as one who is led and empowered by the Spirit. 8 years had passed since the conversion of the people at Ephesus until Paul commanded them in Ephesians 5 and 18 to be filled with the Spirit. This has been the experience of many of us. Quite unintentionally, we operate for years without really giving the Holy Spirit the control he needs to have in our lives. Our goals were good and noble, but they were just that, our goals. Then one day we realized there just had to be more than we had discovered. Praise be to God. Why should I be filled with the Holy Spirit. There are three reasons why you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God's will is that you be filled. And John 14, 16 through 17. I have some problems that can be solved only by the Holy Spirit. The paraphrase of Romans 7, 18 through 19 and 24 through 25 in the Living Bible reads as follows. I know I am rotten through and through. So far as my old sinful nature is concerned, no matter which way I turn, I cannot make myself do right. I want to, but I can't. When I want to do good, I don't. And when I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway. Oh, what a terrible predicament I'm in. Who will free me from my slavery to this deadly lower nature? Thank God it has been done by Jesus Christ our Lord. He has set me free. Some of the obvious problems I have had that can only be solved by the Holy Spirit included a secret spirit of pride, a love of human praise, anger, or impatience, self-will, carnal feel, a jealous disposition, unbelief, formality, and deadness. These are some of the trials that generally indicate a carnal heart, and thus the need to be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to experience the greatest joy and effectiveness possibly in my Christian life. And John 10 and 10 says, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. It is not unusual to hear someone say, I have never surrendered my life to Christ because I am afraid of what he will do to me. Does that sound like a loving father? No. These people do not understand how much God loves them, and how much freedom and joy he will give them. Christians who allow the Holy Spirit to fill them experience a new dimension of peace and effectiveness. Praise be to God. Number three, how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? We must not confuse being filled with the Spirit with the gift of the Spirit. If we do not see a clear-cut difference between these two, we can never have an intelligent grasp of what being filled with the Spirit means. In A.D. 56, these Ephesian Christians had received the gift of the Spirit in Acts 19. And then 8 years later, when writing from prison in Rome, Paul told them to be filled with the Spirit. If the gift and being filled with were the same, there would have been no need for Paul to write. In Acts 2 and 38, the gift of the Spirit comes at conversion. Being filled with the Spirit comes at consecration in Romans 6 and 13. They may be close together or years apart. Self examination. In 1 Corinthians 11 and 28 says, but let a man examine himself. Above all else, we must be honest with ourselves. We must not ignore or attempt to hide from ourselves any of our sins. We must ask ourselves, what are those things in my life that prevent the Holy Spirit from being able to fill me? Praise God. Confession of all known sin. In 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. After examining ourselves in the light of God's word, we should confess all sin brought to mind by the Holy Spirit until we start calling our pride, anger, complacency, and bitterness sin. We will never have the filling of the Holy Spirit. However, when we recognize these deficiencies as sin and confess them to God, he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Submission of ourselves completely to God. In Romans 6 and 13 says, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members are members as instruments of righteousness unto God. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must make ourselves completely available to God to do anything the Holy Spirit wants us to do. If there is anything in our lives that we are unwilling to do, then we are resisting God, and this always limits God's Spirit. Ask to be filled. And Luke 11 and 13 tells us, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Any suggestions that we wait to tarry or labor is a human suggestion. Only the disciples were told to wait. And the reason was that the day of Pentecost had not yet come. Since that day, God's children have only had to ask for his filling to experience it. Praise God. Believe you are filled. In Mark 9 and 23 tells us, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. For many Christians, the battle is won or lost right here. Believing we are filled with the Spirit is merely taking God at his word. And that is the only absolute this world has. How can I know I have been filled with the Holy Spirit? Because of the promise of God's word in Mark 11 and 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Because of the fruit of the Spirit in Matthew 7 and 20 and Galatians 5, 22-23 says, by their fruit you will recognize them. List the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Because you will have both the power and the desire to witness. In Acts 1:8, in the RSV Bible says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. Because the Holy Spirit will glorify Christ through you. In John 16:14 says, he shall glorify me. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Another remedy against sin is care or caution, it being impossible otherwise to maintain purity of heart and life. Time is a talent given us by God, and it is misspent and lost when not employed according to his design. If we have lost our time heretofore, we must double our diligence for the future. Of that time which thousands on a dying bed would gladly redeem at the price of the whole world, how little do men think, and to what trifle they daily sacrifice it. People are very apt to complain of bad times. It were well if that stirred them more to redeem time. Be not unwise. Ignorance of our duty and neglect of our souls show the greatest folly. Drunkenness is a sin that never goes alone, but carries men into other evils. It is a sin very provoking to God. The drunkard holds out to his family and to the whole and to the world and sad spectacles of a sinner hardened beyond what is common and hasten to perdition. When afflicted or weary, let us not seek to raise our spirits by strong drink, which is hateful and hurtful, and only ends in making sorrow more felt. But by fervent prayer, let us seek to be filled with the Spirit and to avoid whatever may grieve our gracious Comforter. All God's people have reason to sing for joy. Though we are not always singing, we should be always giving thanks. We should never want disposition for this duty, as we never want matter for it. Through the whole course of our lives, always, even in trials and afflictions, and for all things, being sanctified of their loving intent and good tendency. God keeps believers from sinning against him and engage them to submit one to another in all he has command to promote his glory, to the fulfilled and to fulfill their duties to each other. And as I bring this message to a close, thank you, Lord God. When can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, examine yourself. Confess your known sins. Submit yourself unreservedly to Christ. Then simply ask to be filled and believe that you are filled. Why not trust the Holy Spirit with your life? This is not a once-for-all experience. It is an experience we will repeat every day. But it must begin sometime. Why not let that time be now? Amen. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. Take my silver and my gold. Not a smite would I withhold. Not a mite would I withhold. Take my love, my God, I pour at thy feet, its treasures stored. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. Ever only all for thee. Francis R. Harvell. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father God, I am a sinner. I pray you forgive me for my sins. I thank you for sending your only begotten Son to die on the cross for my sins. Jesus, be my Lord, Savior, and friend. I want to follow you all the days of my life. I pray that your Holy Spirit takes residence in me. All these blessings I ask in Jesus' name, I pray and believe that it is already done. Amen, amen, and amen. And let the power of God manifest a breakthrough in your life, for Jesus is Lord. Praise God. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And the next thing you have to do is to find yourself a good Bible-based church. And if you would like to join us on Zoom at House of the Lord Online Ministry, we will welcome you as a member of our church. And I would like to leave you with these words from Jude 24 and 25, where it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you until we meet again on Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. when I will come with our sweet hour of prayer. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here to conduct our lesson in basic theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Amen. So God bless you to all of my listeners on Block Talk Radio, YouTube, Facebook, and X. Have a wonderful and blessed weekend and stay safe. To God be the glory. We love you and thank you for tuning in. Good night, everyone. God bless you and shalom. I am your host, Evangelist Hilda. God bless.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all, this is simple. We gonna have a church. When I look back on my life, and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about his goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning, and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God is
sustaining me. Don't you know, God?
and know I didn't deserve the gift of His grace. Jesus paid the price, covered me in His blood. His love, only His love, restores my soul forever. When I'm in trouble, when I'm sick,
Jesus,
you see, He touched my body,
sustaining me,
and I can feel Him all over me.
And no matter,
what the touch,
saving me.
Sometimes you gotta call Him
Jesus.
You gotta call on Him.
Sustaining me.
My Lord.
tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.